This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned on this show where you can find help and hope. And I'm solo this week. I haven't been solo since, oh my goodness, when COVID was really bad. All alone. Lynn's still not feeling well, but she's on the mend. So hopefully, you know, she'll be cleared up this week because she's been sick for quite a bit. But we have a fabulous guest that's going to be calling in today. Elizabeth Miller from the Happy Healthy Caregiver. But I had a wonderful couple of days in New York City. I went to New York City to see my stepmother for Mother's Day, Heidi. And the first day I got there, Saturday, we went to Radio City Music Hall to see Frankie Valli. Oh my goodness, 88 years old, the man is still performing. He looked a little frail, but he did really well. And at the end of the show, he goes, "See you next year, maybe, maybe not." And just all that music is just so fabulous. And then the next day, we went to an off-Broadway show, Romeo and Bernadette. So Romeo gets sent into Brooklyn in like the 60s or the 70s, and he's looking for Juliet, but he finds Bernadette. And Bernadette is the daughter of the mob gang guy. So it's very funny because he's talking his Shakespeare talk and everybody's going, "Forget about it. You don't say it that way." So that was really fun. And then the next day, we went to see Jersey Boys one more time. This was my fourth time. And I think my stepmother, this is like our 15th time because this is her favorite. But they're closing in New York City. Next week, and she's like, "I got to see it one more time," and twist my arm. So it was really fabulous. I just love doing that. So I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Bethany in New Jersey. We have Raphael in St. Pete, and we have Cassandra in Ohio. And like I always say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen on when we're live on the radio or on YouTube or on Facebook or all those different avenues. I just want you to always know, if ever you have a question, any show, a question or a comment, just call in. Just call in. I'd love to chat with you. And the number is 727-441-3000. That's 727-441-3000. Yeah, so it's been a great week. A lot of more comments about the conference, which makes me very happy when I hear from caregivers and they say, if they just learned one thing. One woman sent me an email and she said, after listening to Dr. DeLon Canterbury, I already made one change in my mother's medication and it seems to be much better. So that just, when I hear that, I'm like, oh, that's just so wonderful. So Dr. Canterbury is going to be a part of the next conference, I am already planning, because it is a lot of planning, will be November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So tune in for more information about that. And so do we have Elizabeth on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you today?
I am fabulous, Linda. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on the show.
I am joyful and grateful, and I'm glad you're here. So tell our listeners first a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go into how the Happy Healthy Caregiver came.
Yes, I live in the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia, and I'm 50 years old, an empty nester now, and I found myself in the caregiving world back in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a caregiver in some ways my entire life. I have an older brother. I'm one of six kids. I have an older brother with a developmental and intellectual disability.
Okay.
So I have always been exposed to caregiving, but really took on a primary caregiving role when my parents had chronic comorbidities. They were actually Florida residents.
Mm-hmm.
And were living in their dream home in Amelia Island.
Oh.
And then I know, but they hadn't touched the stand in probably the last 10 years of my dad's life. And so my dad, like you hear from many, there's a couple, and my dad was the stronger of the two, and he declined quickly. He got sepsis, and within a month's time, he was intubated, and then we found ourselves kind of scrambling to figure out what to do with my mom and my brother. And so my siblings and I, we had to learn how to share the care.
Yeah. I like that. Share the care.
Yes. Whether we wanted to or not. My husband was also squeezed in the sandwich generation with me. He was caring for his mom who had lung cancer at the time. We were both working and our kids were in middle school back then. And we were feeling like we were losing our minds.
Yeah. Well, you know, years ago, Rosalind Carter said, you either are a caregiver, you have been a caregiver, you will be a caregiver, somebody's going to be taking care of you. So I tell everybody, it's an equal opportunity employer. You're all going to get a chance.
Yeah, I love that quote. And I love that everything that she's done to help family caregivers.
Yes. Okay, so how did this lead to the Happy Healthy Caregiver?
Yeah, well, so as I said, I was feeling like I was isolated, overwhelmed, tired, angry, like the whole gamut of caregiving emotions. And I was desperate for flexibility. And I thought, there's a huge gap. There's nobody serving the family caregiver at the time.
Right.
At least I couldn't find it. And I studied journalism at Penn State University and never really used it. I fell into a professional career in IT and strategy. But writing has always been therapeutic for me. So I started writing, was initially blogging. It was helping me process. And as I was being more transparent with what was happening, I found that I was healing myself and also hopefully helping other people. And so while I was learning and trying new things, I just kind of kept putting it out there. And I wanted to learn more, so I became a certified caregiving consultant, and then the podcast and the coaching and all of that just kind of layered on different things over the past 7 years.
Yeah, it just happens because it's so needed right now. It was so needed forever. When I first started doing this 15 years ago, I had to educate them that they were caregivers before I could even help them. There was no even conversation on that. It was, you know, I'm just the loyal daughter, the faithful spouse. I'm like, honey, you're a caregiver. So
I hear you. I wish I knew you back then, Linda. And I feel like until people know they're caregivers, they can't connect to the resources.
Yeah.
And so as a society, we need to band together and really change that dynamic.
Yes.
And I think it's changing with employers and celebrities being more vulnerable about their experiences. I think it's getting better.
Yes.
It's still surprising that there's 53 million in the U.S. alone.
Right.
And it's this hard.
And it's growing. I mean, we're living so much longer than we ever did before. I mean, down here in Pinellas County, Florida, there's like a senior, they said there are more seniors per square inch here than anywhere else in the United States. Because everybody came to retire.
Yes, no state income tax. I know that was what attracted my parents to move from Georgia and retire down in Florida.
Yeah, and it's sunny every day, and the real estate was reasonable. But then, then there's been a lot of issues. There's a lot of issues here with the long-distance caregiver. Because mom and dad moved here, and they're wherever, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, New York, or whatever. So we had to start that.
There is a role for the long-distance caregiver, and we were spread out. You know, when I took primary care reins for my mom, and she moved to Atlanta, and then my brother also moved to Atlanta to move in with my other brother, we still needed help from our other family members.
Yeah.
My sisters lived in the Northeast, and it's evolved and changed over the years. My parents are now deceased, but we still come together to help care for my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are things that long-distance caregivers can do as far as, you know, paying the bills, doing research.
Doing the paperwork.
Paperwork, exactly.
Yeah. Just send some money for some respite care.
Yeah, gift card for dinner. That would be amazing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what, you know, but you know the story, too. It's hard for caregivers to ask for help. It's hard for caregivers to accept help. But there's people out there that want to help you. So
I feel like there was an aha moment for me where it really, you know, I was frustrated with my husband and sometimes, and he was also had his hands full and my kids. And I just thought, you know, they're not mind readers. We have to be very specific about what we need. And, you know, I have a brother that I call consistent, where he's not a whole lot of help, my oldest brother. And I have a brother that's amazing, but you have to be very specific about what you need.
Yeah.
And then it seems like the women in my family, we kind of just can see and identify and know when things are starting to go awry.
Yeah. 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 It's very interesting. So you were working full time while raising two kids and helping family caregivers and being a caregiver yourself. So how were you able to integrate self-care into your busy life?
That's a great question. I felt like I had to, because I had watched my parents and my mother-in-law make lifestyle choices that were putting us in a caregiving situation. And I felt like I did not want to put my kids in a similar situation. So I had to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started leaning into it, and I had to be intentional about how to infuse self-care. And for me, in the beginning, I was very focused on the physical self-care, the sleep and the eating right and the exercise. And then over the years, it's evolved into the emotional and the mental and the professional and social, like all the different aspects of self-care.
Yeah.
But while I was working, the main thing that helped me was scheduling it. So I scheduled it like a wellness appointment.
Exactly.
Where Wednesdays and Friday mornings, that was my time. I got up earlier. I went to the coffee shop. That was when I did my writing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went and worked out afterwards. And
that fuels you. That fuels you then to be able to do your other duties.
Yeah, I have this little respite in the week, so to speak, you know, that I had carved into my life, and it was helping me realize that I wasn't just doing all these things for other people, that I had some time for myself.
Right.
And then once I got to the office, I would, you know, ask my boss, you know, hey, can we do our meeting as a walk and talk meeting?
Exactly.
Like, that's a great idea. Let's go out and walk around. And
yeah,
a lot of times there was a meeting with just one other person, or I would be sure to kind of get outside if weather was nice and take my lunch outside and really use my lunch break for reading. Or sometimes I had to research and make caregiving calls and appointments.
Right.
But I really tried to do something for myself.
Well, you know, one of my caregivers recently, she said, my daughter has off from work on Fridays. She said, so every Friday she comes over and spends a couple of hours with my husband. And she goes, during that time, she says, I go to the park, I put my headphones on, I listen to the radio show, and I walk through the beautiful park. So she said, so I get nature, exercise, education, and a laugh all in one package. And I'm like, that's fabulous.
That's amazing. I have a thing that I call a twofer. It's like a buy one, get one, where you're, you know, like I said, walking outside and talking with a loved one or whatever. But if that sounds more like a fourfer.
Exactly.
Leveled up.
It's absolutely brilliant. So let's talk about some resources in your community, which is different than other resources. You know, like I said, when I first started doing this, especially in this area, I was the only kid on the block. Thank God I'm not. Thank God there are a lot of other caregiver advocates now, and people like you and Teresa Wilbanks and, you know, just fabulous people that are out there for caregivers. But we all have different flavors, too. So
yes, I love that you mentioned Teresa. She's the one that introduced me to you. And like you said, Linda, we're stronger together. There's 53 million in the U.S. alone. One of us can't serve everybody, and we all have choices. Do we like to shop at Kroger or Publix?
Exactly.
Everybody's going to resonate with different people. So, yeah, I do think I have my own flavor of things. You know, when I first started blogging, I just felt like it was not me, like not my tone.
Okay.
I tend to be a silver lining kind of person and looking for the bright spot and trying to find the learnings and the experiences. And so I really see Happy Healthy Caregiver as a beacon of what we want to be. You know, it's not necessarily what I call myself. We're all work in progress, but it's not a gloom and doom place. It's not a place where you're going to come and just complain, where you're going to be forced to really identify some solutions and try them on and see if they work for you. And it's very practical. And what you'll find, too, like on the Happy Healthy Caregiver podcast and in the guest blog post that we have, is that these are all real family caregivers. Like, I believe that we are the experts in caregiving.
Yes, definitely. Most definitely. You know, I recently, a lot of my support groups, it turns out that half of them are caregivers and half of them are caregivers that came back, but they're grieving. And but they still want to come back and help others. So what I'm going to start doing in the next month or two is I'm creating a mentor program. So let's say your loved one died of Parkinson's and you're coming back to the group and there's a new person that comes into the group and their loved one has Parkinson's. You can be their mentor. You can talk during the week. You can talk in between support groups. And every single caregiver that I've asked, are you on board? They're like, heck yeah, Linda. Because they need to find a new purpose too.
Yeah, I have several people, like you said. I run a daughterhood circle here in the Atlanta area where we get together monthly. And I've had, you know, several people who, like you said, their parents have passed away. And they're like, well, I guess I can't come anymore. And I'm like, are you kidding? I need you. Like, I need you to, you know, my folks didn't have dementia as a big thing.
Right.
You know, mom had a little bit of cognitive things toward the end of her life this past 6 months. But I don't know if it was dementia or not. We never went through the trouble of diagnosing it. But I need these people because they have different solutions and strategies and actions that can work. And every caregiving situation is a little bit different. I mean, there's some commonality that we all have where we all need to some help setting boundaries and asking for help and those things. But it's there's some nuances that we can all help each other with.
And I think one of the biggest things is just to know that you're not alone. You know, I got an email last week after the conference, and a woman said, I've been caregiving for 4 years. I didn't know about any of this stuff. She said, and I loved the conference, she said, I laughed and I cried and I learned some things, but for the first time since I've started my caregiving journey, I didn't feel like I was alone. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
How do we change that? If I could wave a magic wand, I would want our healthcare providers, I feel like they're in the best spot to change that dynamic. And I know for me, when I was wheeling in my mom or accompanying her on a doctor's visit or at a hospitalization, like, people were very quick to give me, here's how to manage wound care and diabetes and how you transfer her and this and that. But nobody in all of my years has ever said, you are a family caregiver. You're likely losing your mind. How are you doing? Here are some resources that can help you. Like, could that happen in our lifetime? I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. You know, my husband passed away last year, and we had hospice at the end. And he loved the hospice nurse. She was just fabulous. She came in. But she would come in, and she'd take his vitals, and she was like, I need to take yours too, Linda, because you're the caregiver, and we have to make sure that you're okay too. You know how good that made me feel? Did somebody care?
You were validated and seen. And I do think they are, first of all, I'm sorry for your loss, Linda. I did not know that you were a widow. My heart aches for you. And I'm glad that you know, had all these tools and you knew about hospice. I think that's one of the things that people don't tap into necessarily early enough, and they have regrets about it. And that we have had very positive experiences in my family with all variations of hospice, whether they're in the home or you're in a community or in a hospital setting.
Well, I have never, ever heard anything bad about any hospice. Now, I'm sure that if someone had a bad experience, they'd be right there to tell me, because you always have those people that are right there to tell you something different, and I've never heard of it. You know, it's people don't take advantage of it enough. You know, they think hospice is a dirty word or hospice is a death word. No, it's not. No, it's not. And it's for you and your loved one.
It's a comfort word. I find comfort in that word.
Yeah. Yeah. But other people find fear in it. And that's why we have to educate them.
And it does in general. Yeah. We need to kind of change the narrative around death and make it a death positive movement, is what somebody had on a podcast recently talked about. And I was like, oh, I like that. You know, and just, we do so much to glorify a birth. Why don't we have that same resonance with the death?
Well, you know what? When I was caring for my mother, and that's how my whole caregiving thing started. When my mom passed away, I just felt like I was helping to birth her into a new life. I didn't take it like that she was dead. She was just being birthed into a new life where she would be free of pain and everything would be cool and she'd still be mine. And I think that whole outlook just made it so much better.
Yeah, I think you have to have something that like that visual. Like there's a poem that my sister has read where it's a ship that's leaving out in the ocean and then, well, you know, we're saying goodbye, but there's somebody else on the other side that's saying hello. And
yeah,
being that we have a big family, that's how I imagine that there's a lot of people in the other afterlife that are.
Oh, I think, you know, last time when my husband passed away, I felt really sad, and I felt sad that he died and everything, but he's at a party now with my mom, my dad, his parents, you know, he's in a better place. And I guess that's why, you know, I don't know how people go through caregiving or anything without faith. But please don't go away. We need to hear from our wonderful sponsors, but I want to chat with you more, okay?
Okay, I'll stick around.
All right, time to hear from our great sponsors. Don't go away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you looking for compassionate and dependable home care for you or a loved one? Assisting Hands Home Care, serving Pinellas and Pasco counties, can help.
The day came that taking care of my mother was no longer the best thing for me or for her. Between kids and a job, I couldn't give her the attention she needed and deserved, and I was overwhelmed. So I reached out to Assisting Hands Home Care. Now I can see what an important decision that was, and I feel confident that my mother has compassionate and dependable caregivers who help her to stay happy, healthy, and home. Today, I'm able to visit with my mother and enjoy our time together, which is exactly what we both needed.
Assisting Hands Home Care. Call today for your free in-home consultation. In Pinellas, call 727-748-4211 or visit assistinghands.com. When you can't do it all, give Assisting Hands a call.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back. Ed, did you say we had somebody else on the line? Yeah, can you put her on, please? Hello? Sounds like a dial tone. All right, so hopefully she'll call back. Oh, she's calling back in? I'm so glad he's here. I'm not here by myself.
Hey, I'm back.
Hi.
This is Elizabeth. I had gotten disconnected, but
Okay, I think we have another caller, too. Okay. All right. So we're good. So let's talk a little bit further about some of the stuff we were talking about with self-care for caregivers.
Okay.
If you could give two tips to a caregiver on self-care, what would it be?
Well, Well, we covered the scheduling one. That's super important.
Right.
And then I do think the twofers is also a good strategy where you can combine things. But I also think that in order to really be intentional about your self-care, you've got to start clearing some things off your plate. And so I would call that practical self-care, where you are assessing the responsibilities that you have and keeping the ones that are you are the expert in or feeling joy, and then what's not serving you, thinking about who can fill that in. And then I think, you know, social support is so important. We talked about the groups, but, you know, it's to find a group in your area and to find it and connect before you are drowning and help. Like, do it proactively. And how you do that is just to put in a Google search, you know, family caregiver support in the name of your town.
Yeah.
And try it out, you know, whether it's, and there's, or it's a grief or a death cafe, or maybe it's even like a book club or it doesn't have to be a traditional caregiver support group, but I think it's so important to find your tribe of people.
Yeah. Elizabeth, we have that caller, so just hang on. Hello.
Hi, Linda.
Hi, Natalie. How are you today?
We're great. We're enjoying sunshine this morning.
That's a good thing.
In Olympia, Washington.
That's fabulous.
So, I guess you would like us to comment on the great journaling class you had yesterday?
Yeah.
That was great. I hadn't heard of Sharon before, and I haven't gone to her website, but it was a great session.
I thought it was a fabulous session. I thought it was an opportunity to share more, and I thought, and it was kind of nice for me to participate instead of really running that session. I thought it worked out really well.
Yeah, I did too. Both Chuck and I enjoyed it, the time and the thoughts that she shared with us.
Well, you know, I always encourage caregivers, because many times they say they don't want to go to a support group. Well, this is like a journaling workshop and a support group together. And I love it, because I think in a way we end up sharing more than just in a support group.
I think so.
Yeah.
Especially when you lead with positive thoughts.
Yes. It's all good. So I met Natalie and Chuck through one of my support groups that I do via Zoom. And I will not be here next Friday at the show, because I'll be on my way to Washington.
Yay.
So I look forward to seeing you guys next week. Thanks for calling in.
Okay.
Have a delicious day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Yeah, Linda, I love that you guys brought up the journaling, because that is something. I have a journal that I wrote called the Just For You Daily Self-Care Journal. And I wrote it with caregivers in mind, because I feel like it had helped me so much, but I didn't want to give caregivers something overwhelming.
Right.
So it has 365 writing prompts, and you can write a bullet. You could write a sentence.
Exactly.
I think it's a way to start practicing putting some emphasis back on your life and what brings you value, what brings you joy, and attracting that back into your life. And it leaves a great legacy for people.
Yeah, and when you are a caregiver, you do have to schedule that. So, you know, I have a couple of timers on my phone. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, a timer rings, and it reminds me to stop, breathe, and say a prayer. Because I would go through the whole day and be at nighttime, I'll be like, I didn't stop for 5 minutes. What the heck?
Yeah, it's just, you know that you're paying your health first. I do, you know, I do a similar thing. I have an app I have on my phone called Habit Tracker, and it's free, I think. And every month I kind of shake up some of the habits, but there's some that I consistently keep, which is a water tracker to make sure I'm hydrated.
Yes.
And then I take a little quick walk. I know for me, part of my mental health, and it's Mental Health Awareness Month here in May, is that getting outside is so important to me. So I take a 15, 20-minute break in my day, usually before or after lunch.
Yeah, well, you know what? When I wake up every morning, I get out of my bed, I put my sneakers on, I walk out the front door. And I live across the street from a lake. And I go out on the dock and I say my prayers and say, tell me what to do today, because I don't have a clue. And then I take a picture of the sunrise or a duck or a bird or a flower. I've done this for 7 years. And I post it on Facebook. I say, good morning, Seminole. And I separate text it to my family members to say good morning to them. And some I send a Bible verse to also. So that only takes me like 15 minutes to do all of that. And every day I wake up looking for something beautiful, and I find it in like 5 minutes.
Yes. It's, you know, there's some other opportunities. Like, so people think like self-care is not just a, you know, a night out on the town or a weekend away.
Right.
It's the exact things that you're mentioning, Linda, and you can do them when you're stopped at a traffic light. You know, when you're waiting in line, when you're waiting to pick up your kids in carpool, when, you know, like there's so many
opportunities
that you seize the day before it seizes you.
Well, you know, when Natalie mentioned, I had a friend of mine, Sharon Sarago Walters, on the journaling workshop, and she's all about gratitude. She has a website called Gratise, Gratice, 365.com. So some of the things we talked about yesterday, like when you wake up in the morning, before you like start those caregiving journeys, if you can just wake up and say a prayer, or wake up and take some nice deep breaths, and maybe just hug yourself. Mm. And just acknowledge yourself, acknowledge what you do. I think that could change your whole morning if you did that. And if sometime during the day, you could just stop and think and share one gratitude. You could say it out loud, or you could write it down, about the person you care for. I think that could make all your difference.
We have to do those things, and otherwise it's like, yes, caregiving can be two things at one time. Sometimes it can feel like it's a heavy burden on our shoulders, but it is also, there is a lot to be grateful for. You know, I think about all the trips when my sister resumed care, or she took the reins of care for my mom, mm-hmm. Because mom got to be, you know, too much for the assisted living, and she really just needed on-demand care all the time, and it's expensive, and my sister wanted to do it. But I would go up as a long-distance caregiver support person and pitch in, you know, every quarter.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that I had these time with my mom, you know, maybe time that I wouldn't have had, you know, in her
exactly.
golden years. And we had so many good coffee chats. You know, I would sit with her, and she was bedridden for the last 2 years of her life. And she was always best in the morning. And I would sit with her on her bed, and we would have our coffee, and I would ask her questions. The journalist in me started coming out again. And sometimes we would record the little messages. And I'm just grateful that I had that moment with mom.
You know, my mom made the decision to move to Florida from New York about 8 years after I had already moved here. And it was going to be the adventure of our lives. And I was crazy about my mom. And 4 months after she moved down here, she found out that she had stage 4 colon cancer. Not the deal. And
that was not the plan, Linda.
Nope. So the doctors suggested some chemotherapy. And my one sister's a nurse. She didn't think it was a good idea. My other sister, her husband died young of cancer. So she'd been through it. She didn't think it was a good idea. But my mom wanted to try it. So it's her choice. And after like the second round, she was out like a light. And we decided we're just not doing this anymore. Well, my mom also had dementia, which I didn't realize until after she died. I just thought she was being my goofy mom. It served her very well because
they have some adventures. And
yeah.
My mom did the same. I would call them her adventures.
Well, you know, when she stopped the chemo, she told everybody she was cured. Now, I don't know if she thought she was cured, she wanted to be cured, or she wanted everybody to think she was cured. But you know what you put in your head. We had a fabulous 18 months. There was only one day I wasn't with her when I went to jury duty. But we traveled. She made up with people she needed to make up with. Sometimes she'd be sick, you know, but it was just fabulous. And so I moved into with her after she became very ill. And I tucked her into bed one night, and she said to me, "Good night and God bless," which she said to me 1,000 times before. But I thought it was going to be the last time I was going to hear it. And I went in her living room and prayed, "Dear God, please just give me a little longer. I'm not ready." And the next morning, she looked good. So I started writing my book, Good Night and God Bless, and I wrote through the last 3 weeks of her life and my grieving process. And then I reconstructed our journey from my journals and my calendar. And the book was published right away. Oh, my goodness. And when I went out to promote the book, every single time people came up to me crying, saying they needed help. And that changed everything. So those journals served me very well, and I'll tell you, some of those journals are just so sweetly and nicely written, And some of them are cried on and scribbled on and angered on. And that's okay, too, because I think a lot of times when people think of journaling, they're just thinking of the happy part.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, even if someone doesn't know where to start today, like one great thing that maybe just sit down for 15 minutes at the end of your day and write one day in your life as a caregiver, like one day what it looked like. And I look back, and I did this as a sandwich generation caregiver, and I'm in awe of who I was.
Right. Well, that's why I say,
yeah,
you know.
You're like,
I did that.
Survive this.
And look at what I learned. Well, I say to caregivers, sometimes at the beginning of the years, we started like talking about goals for this year and stuff, and they're looking at me like, Linda, what are you off the rocker? You want me to think about some damn goals? And I said, you know what? No, you know what I want you to do? I want you to sit down, and I want you to write down three things that you accomplished last year. And they're like, heck yeah, after a while. Yeah, that's right. I overcame that. I learned this. I did this. I said, give yourselves a pat on the back, and that makes you more open to then the next step.
I heard someone call that a ta-da list, which I've adopted.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. We have so many to-do lists, but what about our ta-da list? Like, let's just take a moment to say, you know, gosh darn it, we're doing a great job, and here's this, like, maybe it's even, you know, trying a new medication that started working, or you finally did this trial and error strategy with communication that starts working.
Yeah.
Or you're carved out, you know, like you said, these little rituals in your day. Like, there is something.
Yeah.
Than everyone's life. And then looking forward, I think, you know, one of the habits that we do in my family is we have a 22 for 2022 list, and so we try to pick fun things that we want to do in 22.
Elizabeth, can you hang on for a second? We have another caller.
Sure.
Hello.
Hello.
Who do we have?
Hi, this is Ruth Hartman calling in.
Hi, Ruth. How are you today?
Well, good, Linda. I was just calling in today to thank you and all your sponsors and presenters for that incredible conference last week.
Oh, thank you.
It was, I was listening to it in the car, and when I got to my dad's, we were all ready to drink a lot more water after that a really good talk about drinking water, and I didn't eat any junk food that day. And lastly, I was very happy to see the little donate button on your website so that we can say more, please.
Thank you, Ruth. Thank you. And I saw this morning you sent a donation, and I'm very grateful for that. Because I'm telling you, I love this conference, and the next one's already in the planning, November 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Because I want to bring as much information to the caregivers as we can.
Yay.
Yay.
I'm in it for the long haul, I think.
Yeah, yeah. I think we all are, even if we don't know it.
Right. Right, but thanks for everything.
Thank you, Ruth. Thanks so much for calling in. Be careful driving.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right, bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was very nice.
Nice to get to get a little tip in your tip jar. Like, sometimes you're just wondering, is this resonating with people? And so, what is one thing from your ta-da list last week at the conference?
Oh my God. We talked about the hydration, which I thought was really important because I know about that. But I think Dr. DeLon Canterbury talked about deprescribing medication. And I think we're on way too many medications between over-the-counter and prescriptions. And one person just said, you know what? I made one change in my mother's medication after hearing that segment, and it's made a difference. So he actually can do genetic testing that will tell, I've had it done, that will tell if there's any medications I should never have in my life, like they wouldn't really be good for me at all. And I'm not on any meds now, but when I'm older, if I have to take some, I don't want one that I'm going to have a bad reaction to. And it also told me, the report told, that I'm a fast burner, so if I do need medication someday, I would probably need a higher dosage than someone else because I'm a fast burner. So
that's so interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll be able to see. Within the next week, we'll be sending out 21 videos of the entire conference, all separate, so you can just look at what you want, when you want. Because there's just, even for myself, it was a lot to soak in. Because every conference, I learn more things. So it's just,
yeah, we're always learning.
And I learn from, you know what?
I learn every day.
I learn from my caregivers. You know, things that I didn't know before, things they tried. And that's what's the great part about the support groups. You just know that you're not alone. And you know what it is? Like, if you come to my support groups, what you see is what you get. We're pretty down and out. We cry. We laugh. Sometimes, you know, I don't say a word the entire group. I just want them. I had a caregiver lunch.
Yes, very similar to ours. Like, we meet at a restaurant. We met, you know, virtually for a while, but we meet at a restaurant. You can have a dinner or a drink on your own, but sometimes we talk a lot about caregiving, and sometimes, and like you said, we laugh, we cry, because you can't make this stuff up sometimes.
No.
And sometimes we just talk about our lives and remember who we are as people with dreams and habits and things that we like to do.
Well, you know, some of the communities around here, this was before COVID, and hopefully it'll start again. We would have a caregiver spa night. And we would invite caregivers, and they would have, like, chocolate-covered strawberries and champagne and brie, and then they would get a chair massage, and then they would get their nails done, and then they would get gift baskets, and they would be, like, in the gift baskets would be a gift certificate for a haircut or massage. And my caregiver was always like, I can't go, and I have to pull them by the hair of the head to get them there. And then when they got there, they were like, this is the best, because someone was just honoring them.
I'm going to steal that idea, Linda, which is the highest compliment, by the way. But I feel like I could replicate that maybe on our anniversary party. We do an annual anniversary party for our daughterhood circle. But I love that. And like you said, sometimes the respite is hard to get away from.
Yeah.
I'm a volunteer retreat leader for a wonderful nonprofit called NoBarriersUSA.org, and they have caregiver retreats.
Oh,
and
wow.
Every year we have folks that have to cancel out, and we get it, because you're caregivers,
right.
And sometimes
right.
It's end of life and whatnot. But if they can make it happen, it's such a wonderful transformation over 3 days. I see these caregivers come in weary,
yep.
and they leave with energy and a rope team of support.
Well, you know, I always say to the caregivers, as much as you think that you're the bomb caregiver and that only you can do it and it's your responsibility, many times your loved one is saying under their breath, would you go away for a day or two? And they go, and my caregivers will say, oh, I guess maybe that was happening because I felt myself grinding my teeth. Now it's like, yeah.
Yeah, it's a mutual break.
Yeah, because, and you know, one of my caregivers had an issue. She couldn't take her dad to church her husband to church anymore because his behavior was just off the charts. And she said, I've given up everything, Linda. I don't want to give up going to church. She said, but I haven't gone in months. She said, I'm a slow learner. And she said, my neighbor's always asking if he could help out. She said, and he's Jewish. So I asked him, do you think you could hang out with my husband when I go to church? He said, I would love to do that. She said, so the first week I ran to the church and I ran back home and they said, get out of here. We don't need you. We're playing dominoes. So she gets 3 hours every Sunday morning and her husband is so glad to see somebody else. And the neighbor is so glad to see the husband.
Yes. I mean, it does not have to all fall on one person. There's variety is the spice of life, you know, and let's spread the wealth out because it's a gift to that neighbor. Like you said, like we think, oh, nobody would want to do this, but how do we know?
Yeah, someone said to me after my mom passed away, you didn't give me the opportunity to get to know your mother. Ooh. Well, sometimes you learn the hard way. I had to think about that more. I had to think about that more. Well, Elizabeth, what's the last thing you want to tell our caregivers today?
Oh,
and where can they find you?
I just think, you know, continue to listen to uplifting things, to really focus on what you're doing well,
yeah,
and not just beating yourself up. And I would love for you to check out happyhealthycaregiver.com. You'll find the podcast and everything that I'm all about there.
Fabulous. Thank you so much, my new friend. Let's chat soon.
I'd love that. Thank you, Linda. Have a great weekend.
Have a delicious day.
I would love it. Thank you.
And now it's time to hear from our fabulous partners. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week. And did you know they got the Reader's Choice Award for 2019 for the best chiropractic in Pinellas County? So check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yes, that football walker is absolutely fabulous. Caregivers, there are many tools out there that you can use to help your loved one and to help you care for your loved one so that you don't get hurt or you don't have as much stress. A&E Corner, Cindy and Christina from AE Corner. AE stands for Adaptable Equipment. Are very good friends of mine, and they find the newest and best tools to help caregivers and their loved ones. So when you have an opportunity, you can go to their YouTube channel also, AE Corner. You'll see a bunch of fabulous information. Occasionally they do spots on my Tuesday tips. In fact, the one we did this past week was about how to get up and down the stairs with a walker, because there's a proper way to do that. I can't tell you how many people fall with their walker trying to go up and down the stairs. Please get into a support group. Go to my website under events. You'll see the groups and the journaling workshops I do. Everyone is welcome. There's also other support groups listed there from other people that I know that do a fabulous job, because I'm not the only girl on the block, thank goodness. But really do something about that. Also, the Disability Achievement Center in Largo, for people that are local here, they're having the experience, the ability experience, on Wednesday, May 18th from 2 to 4. And what this is the ninth year. It's a group of young men from Pi Kappa Phi fraternity from all over the country. And they bike from Miami to Tallahassee, raising awareness for persons with disabilities. And these guys are fabulous. I've met them before. One year they did it virtually because of COVID. They actually rode their bikes in their dorm rooms and clocked up the miles. So they will be there at the Disability Achievement Center on Belcher Road South in Largo this Wednesday, May 18th from 2 to 4. And anyone's welcome to come by just to check out the Disability Center, just to meet some of these fabulous young men. It just warms my heart when I see young men becoming servant leaders of our future. You know, I tell my grandchildren all the time, I'm involved in Kiwanis and some other volunteer things. You know, service work is not an option. It's a responsibility, and we need to teach our kids that, you know, we need to take part in our community, because it takes a village. And the more that we know people in our community, we can help each other, and you just feel better, because it's like your town. So thanks so much, everybody. I will not be here next week. Becky Moultrie, guest host from Assisting Hands, will be here. She always does an absolutely fabulous job, because I will be on my way to Washington to meet some caregivers that I met via Zoom. I appreciate you tuning in. I know how precious your time is. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
Close your eyes and think of me, and soon I will be there to brighten up.